And if all of you could have been in my room between 2 and 4 this morning, I preached this message perfect. I didn't make a mistake. I didn't offend anybody. I didn't make a fool out of myself. But I don't know where y'all were. Thank you, Brother Pugh. He didn't preach to nobody else but me. No, it couldn't have been you, Brother Gilbert. No. I guess he tore apart the first part of the message. And I have to tell you a thing or two before I start. This is totally different. I probably will not lift my voice, and I know I have been I am a very emotional preacher. I usually preach from the front, the back, never where else. But I beg you that for now, let me to deliver to you something that God has worked on my heart for over 4 years. And a week ago, I delivered this to my church. And I'll not be as long today as I was then, but for almost 2 hours, Sunday nights in Longview are geared high. We start high and we don't ever slack off. It's the way it is. But that Sunday night, not a person moved. There wasn't even a 3 or 4 amens. Nobody shouted. But when we got through, it will go down as probably the greatest service that has ever come our way. Because God did something to our church that night. He healed us in the mind and in our hearts. And saints came to me by the droves and said, I've struggled so long. I've been confused. And God gave us an answer. And then Brother Tenney had me to do it in a couple of conferences over here. And the other night at midnight, Brother Anthony Mangan called and said to do it here. All I can say is this message will not fit everybody today. But someday in your life, it will. Tonight will be the ultimate of glory. This is the place, Alexandra Outreach, shaking the world, victory, glory. But for the next hour, let me open my heart and talk to somebody who may be hurting this place today. Romans, the 12th chapter, I'll begin. 3 passages of Scripture. Romans 12 and 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. You say transformed? By the renewing of your mind. Romans, the 8th chapter. If I take it a little bit out of context, hold on. Brother Ewan told me if I got shot too much, he would stand behind me and plug up the holes. Romans, the 8th chapter and the 35th verse. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, all of these things, nothing is going to be able to separate us from the love of God. Now in the book of... forgot where it was. Jeremiah, that's where it is. Amen. Jeremiah, the 8th chapter. One more scripture. Usually by this time I'm in high gear, amen, and have already preached a half a sermon. Jeremiah 8 and 20. The harvest is past. Summer is ended. And we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Would you join somebody's hand and pray that God would touch both of us, you and me? Father God, in your name, I need you. I need you, God. I need you. Holy name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's going to do it. God's going to do it. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I read to you three far-reaching passages of Scripture. And I will endeavor to be conscious of the clock today. One of them says that there must be a renewing of the mind. Then in Romans, it raises the strange question, and I am not being negative today at all. I think my ministry for the few years that I have been preaching has declared I am not a negative preacher. I'm always positive. But it may sound a little bit negative at this point, but hold on. The writer raises the question that shall certain things be able to separate us from the love of God? I seriously doubt that some of the things that he mentioned will ever touch you and I in the United States of America, probably in our lifetime. I doubt that the famine of Ethiopia will ever reach in my lifetime and be the raging despair that it has been there. I doubt some other things, but there is one thing that he raised the question that possibly affects a lot of people in this building today, and he just simply said, will distress be able to separate us from the love of God? And then Jeremiah said that the daughter is sick. And if she is sick, and if there is a physician there, then why is she still sick? We live in a very complex age. I read recently that the strangeness of this hour is that no longer can we wait for an answer. The computer age has brought us to a time that we don't have to wait. The answer is immediately. And we have become geared to the fact that we are not going to wait. And in not being able to wait, we end up very, very confused and very hurting inside a lot of time. I wish today, and probably before I'm through, I will do it. Every preacher that has come to this pulpit has been very honest. We have pulled the facade aside. We have taken the plastic aside. And I, for one, am sick and tired of being or having to make out like nothing is wrong when inside we're dying on the inside. I've shaken hands with a lot of you, and you've asked me how I'm doing. I've lied to most of you since I've been here, and most of you have lied to me. And we said, hey, how you doing? And it's fine. Great. How's everything? Man, it's good. How's the church? How's everything going? Hey, it's great. But inside, we look at one another, and if we could pull the facade back today, inside our churches, there are turmoil. People are losing out with God. Preachers are hurting. Preachers' wives are confused. We're at the point we're ready to pull our hair out. And somehow we're in great turmoil and distress today. But something will happen to us from today forth. Not from my message, but from this convention. That we will not succumb to the power of this age. We will not succumb to being a confused church and confused people with pressure and problems and confusion that will tear us apart and destroy us. But we will come forth renewed in the Holy Ghost and renewed in our mind by working of the Spirit of Almighty God in our heart and life. Now, there is a lot of things that the devil will do. And many of his tactics has been approached in this convention. But there is one thing that we battle that the devil does not have a whole lot to do. And that is the devil knows that if he backs off and folds his hand and sits down, if the church becomes confused, if confusion reigns in our mind, he does not have to do one thing, but we destroy ourselves and our effectiveness for the cause of Almighty God. All the potential that is in us, all the power that lies resident in us, all the glory, all the action, all the motivation that we are pushed to do lies dormant if we allow the confusion of our lives to so confuse us. We cannot do the will of God with a confused mind. And therefore, the devil attacks us. But because of the times, because of the hour, because of the situation, we must not allow the enemy to destroy us. One thing that we did in our local church, and I'm getting a little too excited here, but the first thing that I did in the service that night, I had everybody to do a very odd thing. Brother Arnold, this sounds like you, not me. I had everybody to just sit there and put their arms around themselves and hug themselves. It did then what it did right then. I'm not going to ask you to do it. But when I did, suddenly I look across that congregation and the glory of God seemingly put His arm around saints. I watched men suddenly break and cry. There was no song. There was no music. But somewhere they began to pull the facade aside. Suddenly they didn't care if the brother across the aisle saw that I've got a problem. I'm struggling on the inside. I'm hurting. I'm confused. I don't know where I'm going. I'm not talking about confusion of doctrine. Now don't get me wrong. One fear that we have among ourselves is that we are afraid that nobody else has been to the hurting point where we are. And because of that, we put on the front. How are you doing? Great. But inside, we're dying. We're hurting. No one wants to admit you lose people. Nobody wants to admit that they're backsliding out of my church. Nobody wants to admit that they're getting divorces at Longview. And I don't want to admit it. But somehow the pressure of the mind, the confusion, the turmoil, the despair, the keep pushing, keep going. Don't worry about it. Destroy yourself. Keep on. And the devil said, if I let them go, they will destroy themselves. There comes a time if you hear a knocking in the engine, don't race the motor. If you do, you're going to destroy it. When I went to Longview, one of the men who was a lay preacher in our church came to me. Name is Brother Johnson. He came to me and he said, Pastor, I want to talk to you. And I said, okay. And I didn't listen to him. I mean, here I was, A.D. Spears. I'd preached in three or four fellowship meetings. And I even got to go to Life Tabernacle one time. And you know, here he was, just Brother Johnson. He said, son, I'm going to tell you something. You better slow down. I said, slow down. He said, 35 years of age, I suffered a massive heart attack. And I'll sit on your pews until I die. It's getting quiet. I'm going a different route.
But he said, I suffered it because nobody ever pulled me aside and set me down long enough to let me heal. And they said, keep going. Don't worry. Keep. And he said, now I sit on your pews. I'll never feel a pulpit again. And he began to weep. And he said, you better listen to me. But I didn't listen to him. Because you see, that was his problem, not mine. But then pressures of life begin to build up. And then stress begins to come in. We don't like to use the word. Nobody likes to say stress. It sounds like defeat. It sounds like a backslidden state. Nobody wants to say we've got problems, because when we say we've got problems, we almost get on the outer edge of saying we got sin. But hey, friend, we've got problems. I stand before you today with maybe even temptations, and I stand here with struggles, definitely struggles. But somewhere it is not God's will for me to be destroyed in the everyday aspect of life. It's God's will somewhere for there to be a point of restoration, for there to be a healing of the mind, for there to be a healing of the spirit, for there to be a new renewing and a restoration. Now hold on. It gets controversial at this point. Everybody has a right in this service today to hear an answer from God. And you have heard it over and over again. The outward pressure begins to build up in the mind. And if there is not a release somewhere, there is going to be a turmoil on the inside. Your body and your mind are so uniquely made by the designer of the universe. You can only take so much. I didn't make you that way. You didn't evolve into that. The designer of the universe says there's only so much you can take, and that's it. Now, not all problems are spiritual problems. And the hardest thing I've had to learn as a pastor, and I'm not sure I've learned it total, because I have almost destroyed my own self physically by not understanding this concept. But somehow, that when they walk in the building, we prescribe the treatment, and sometimes their problem has nothing to do with the spiritual state that they are in. Spiritual conditions don't necessarily rise and fall daily, the way people's struggles and their emotions rise and fall. But when people are confused as to what is emotion and what is a move of God, then they come off the job and they're tired, they're weary, their mind is problem, and they've got turmoil on the inside. They drank enough coffee to kill them. They eat enough sweets to run their blood sugar up. They walk in the house of God, and then we say, come on, worship God. They struggle for it. And we look at them and say, hey, you're not worshiping God. You backslid. You've got the devil. You need to be in the altar. And so we breed in that man confusion as to what is God and what is a turmoil of physical emotion going on in his life. I've seen them, and I've helped to destroy them. When they have come to me dying on inside. And Brother Mangan, they've been so with turmoil. When I've looked at them, and I couldn't decipher what the problem was. I didn't take time to realize that there was all kind of mental pressure going on. I just said, go on another 3-day fast. Go on a 7-day fast. Get in that prayer room and pray 5 more hours next week. I know this is not popular, and somebody is saying, but I want to tell you, friend, there are some answers that we're going to give them that's going to breed enough turmoil and confusion in their mind that they're going to crawl out that back door and they're going to backslide by the droves, because somehow God is not the author of confusion. Now, I realize that's why Brother Tenney took a little moment before I got up here. He had heard me. He takes all the blame today. I've prescribed the treatment, and you have before. When sometimes I have used prayer as an aspirin process. It works all right, the aspirin does, if you got a headache. But if you got a tumor on the inside of the brain, the aspirin is not going to take care of the tumor. And sometime we've looked at them and we've tried to make them run. I have, maybe not you. And we've tried to jump them one more service. And we've tried to lay hands on them and shake them and said, all you need is talking tongues a little bit. And it wasn't that. They needed to be healed in the mind. They needed to be healed inside. They were hurting. They were dying. They were confused. They were in agony. And maybe all they needed is somebody just sit down and say, hey, buddy, it'll be all right in a day or two. You're still a child of God. I'm not getting too much response out there. But the biggest response I got back from my church, Brother Kilgore, is they told me, oh, Pastor, you convinced me I wasn't backslid because I didn't feel good. You convinced me I hadn't lost out with the Holy Ghost just because I didn't feel what everybody else felt. But I've been going through a problem. I've been distressed. And Paul said, but we are come to the place that distress is not going to separate us from the love of God. It's not going to do it. It's not going to do it. Amen. We don't want to accept it. You see, today as I talk, I look across this audience and occasionally I see a man do this. And occasionally I see a lady do this. But you see, especially what I'm talking about now, nobody wants to break down. Nobody wants to get the handkerchief out and say, oh God, He's talking to me. I'm at the end of the road. But some of you came to this conference and you know you didn't come because you wanted to. You came because you struggled and said, I don't know where to go. But if something don't happen, I'm going to cave in. I'm about to lose it all. My mind, some of you preachers' wives can't take it much longer. But God is going to give us an answer. And there will be a healing and there will be a restoration. Just because you've got a problem does not mean there's something wrong. Just because you've got problems does not mean that you're a bad sinner. Some of the problems don't have anything to do with spirituality. There are problems of the mind that does not have anything to do with your walk with God. And I'm going to wade off into that and hang myself after a while. Not all problems are spiritual. But if all problems do not come to a solution, they will eventually become a spiritual problem. But many of them do not start that way. Oh, Lord, here goes. Amen. There are ladies that come into our congregation that with physical problems, and some of them go through it once a month. It's called PMS. And they walk into the building, and they don't feel good. And it's just one of those things. It's the way God made the body, made the life. Make them run and shout all you want to. That's not going to solve the problem. Because you can't prescribe an aspirin when you've got a tumor in the brain. And sometime we, instead of healing, we've added to the confusion. And I've watched new converts when I've thrown out the fact, hey, what you need, boy? You're just not praying enough. You're just not getting with it. I was preaching the other night, and I noticed you back there. You wasn't even with me. And then the danger thing comes that the man who is my friend suddenly becomes my enemy. Because then I begin to attack his reaction rather than trying to treat his problem. And Jeremiah said, man, there's something wrong. My daughter's hurting. Why? Is there not a physician there? Look it up. That calls a healer of the mind in Jeremiah. Is not a healer of the mind there? I'm not trying to be psycho, but I'm going to tell you, my friend, there are some problems that all the devil's got to do is sit back in the corner. He don't have to tempt us. He don't have to do anything. We're going to run our motor and destroy ourselves if somewhere there's not a balance comes to us. And suddenly I see more tears beginning to be evident across this building. I was raised in a preacher's home, a loving father, great people. I thank God for my heritage. But I was raised in an era that I was taught you don't ever slow down. You wear out rather than rust out. You give yourself. You don't ever worry about it. You destroy yourself. You go, 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 go. Nobody told me that if I did that and I didn't ever pull time to retreat, if there was never a time to pull back and be renewed and restored, that after a while I'd run out and the pressure of life would get so, the stress factor would become so, the burdens would become so in my own mind and life that I would become confused. It's in times like this when we say, hey, keep running a little bit faster. And you said, I've gone. I've run as fast as I can. I've pushed it all I can. I can't push it anymore. But I'm afraid our answer is, push it some more. Come on, push it some more. You're about half backslid. So push it some more. And we fail to recognize the problem area, the mental aspect, the physical aspect. They've got a problem on the job. They've come there. A man's been cussing them all day long. They're not backslid. They've been through so much turmoil and care. And dear Lord, they come into the pulpit. And I've been guilty. Maybe you haven't. But I've been guilty when we've browbeat them and we've pushed them down and we've made worse problems out of the situation and we just tagged it all and said, it's a spiritual problem you got and that's all it is to it, and it could have been a lifestyle problem. And there's some of us sitting in this building that have just got simple lifestyle problems. It's not spirituality. We run, stay up half the night, eat wrong, and then end up stressed out, confused. I'm glad you're still with me, Brother Kilgore. Amen. Amen. And we end up, and the first thing you know, we end up with a guilt syndrome. Oh my God, I got to get it done. I got to get it done. Hey, my friend, undoubtedly the reason God brought us to Alexandria this year is the task that lies ahead of us is so great we cannot get it done if we are mentally oppressed, if we are beat down, not by the devil, but by our own selves. Our own selves. And destroy and push and push and run. I did that. That's what they told me to do. In 1974, I was in a revival. And I began to come apart. But who do you tell? Who do you go to and say, because somebody where do you go? Who do you tell next? Friend, I want you to know there's some hurting people in this building today. You listen to me. I'm not too many years shy of 50 years old. But I'm not near the individual I should be because I pushed and pushed and pushed and nobody said, wait, take a minute. Nobody tried to pull me aside and heal me. Brother Barnes set me down in 74 and he said, A.D., you better listen to me. He said, I'm telling you to go home to the Quincy and quit preaching for a while. Brother T.W. Barnes. And he was at a meeting. The first day I did this, he was there. You know, there. And he vouched. He was sitting on the second row. And he said, go home and sit down and get yourself together. You wound yourself like an 8-day clock. And he said, the only way you're going to get unwound is the way we used to do them. You shake it and put it down a while, and you let it slowly unwind. If you wind it too tight, at that moment, you're going to break the spring inside. He said, go home, sit down, be reconciled. And I said, oh man, you don't realize. But I remember in that time, I was preaching Revive for Brother Mike Hudson. And I would leave my little old trailer in De Quincey, drive 184 miles one way. I'd preach, and when I got through preaching, I'd run out of that church. And I'd get in that car, and I'd drive 184 miles. And I said, dear God, I'm bound to be backslid. I'm bound to not even have the Holy Ghost. I'm struggling. I'm hurting inside. But they told me that you just keep going, and that if you got a problem, there's nothing wrong on the inside. And I would get into that little old trailer, and I'd close the door, and I'd lean against the wall, and I'd say to God, if you don't help me, I don't know what I'm going to do. Am I preaching to preachers today? Am I preaching to preachers' wives today? Your office has become your weeping chamber. It's no longer an exciting place to study. Your mind is so broken. But a vacation won't do it. Hold on, and I'll get to that after a while. Somewhere you have to meet the problem right where it is and find out what the problem area is and solve it right there at that moment. But then the guilt syndrome starts in. Pardon me, they'll get it all straightened out what I'm doing wrong tonight, Brother Arnold. But it finally, I began to question God. I said, God, you don't understand. Hey, you don't understand, God. Man, I'm racing everything. I'm running everything. And nights are coming and the end of the world's are coming. And you don't understand. I got to push more and do more. And man, the whole world depends on me. And God stopped me the other day and He said, hey, when were you born? And I said, 1941. And He said, the world was in trouble before you got here. And it'll be in trouble if it tarries long enough after you're gone. All I'm asking you to do is play your part on the time I have allotted for you to walk across the stage. But I need you at your best. I don't need a hull of a preacher. I don't need a broken, mental, confused individual. I need somebody that's been healed. Somebody that's been restored. Somebody that's been touched. Somebody that's been renewed. And I think that's what God's saying to somebody today. I'm sorry, this is not what you expected out of me, because this is not what I've ever done before. But a year ago, Brother Kenneth Haney, you were here a while ago. A year ago, I was preaching Sunday school convention in California. That year, it was in Stockton. In the middle of a sermon, God spoke to me, and I said it publicly, and I did not understand why. God said, go home, shut down all of your preaching across the country, close it down. You're to be gone only two times for the next 2 years. For the next year, stay home. I didn't understand that. They invited me back to California for the same convention this past year, 1 year later. And when I got back there, I did not notice any difference. But preacher after preacher came to me and said, there's something different about you. I don't know. Finally, Brother Price, the superintendent, called me aside. And he said, Brother Spears, you've preached in my church and you've been to this district and preached, I don't know how many conventions. But he said, something has happened to you. He said, somewhere there's been a healing that's been happening inside. And he said, you don't preach the way you used to preach. But somehow, you're reaching down and getting in the heart and pulling out something that got... Brother Pugh, you were in both of those conventions. You will verify the fact. Oh, I'm not trying to be smart here today. I'm not trying to be negative. I'm just saying that somewhere we can push ourselves until we destroy the only vessel God has in this world to reach this generation is what you see here today. If we don't find a balance to it. But I'll tell you, so I kept pushing. I took a church in Longview in 1977. Greatest church in all the world. And I met you with any of you. Brother, the greatest church, bar none. I guess God put me there because He saw I didn't have sense enough to stop and slow down. Man went in there, dragged myself to that pulpit, dragged myself to the altar, for everything in the altar, loved it and kept on and kept on. But there is some things, my friend, I hate to say, when you wear it out and tear it down, there are some things God does not totally build up and restore. That's why 80-year-old men don't act like 20-year-old men. It's God's process. So we launched into a building program. 3 months from the close of our building program, our bank defaulted. In the midst of the building program, begin to hear those little old whispers. Well, no use dwelling on it. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, so I'll go on. And so I began to take it on the inside. Because I didn't know where to go to get healed. I didn't know where to go. So I walked the floor. I crawled on the floor. For 3 years. And I know I'm making myself vulnerable and may get totally criticized, but that's what this whole conference has been anyway. But for 3 years, I never slept any, Brother Williams. 3 years. You say, you're crazy. Well, I just about was, yeah. Slept 20 minutes, and once I had the 20 minutes sleep, then I would get up. And then until my body would literally wear out and walk the floor and worry, confusion, and I'd crawl on the living room floor. Beat the wall, pull the carpet, bare my face in the pillow and say, God, isn't there a preacher somewhere? Don't misjudge me. I've preached a few conventions in my life, and I'm not being smart when I say it, but I have to say that to say this. But I went to enough of them and preached enough of them that when I left them, sometime I was more confused than when I went to them. Ooh, mercy. Some of you don't stare at me that way, please. But instead of somebody healing, it was just more turmoil, more confusion. The first thing I found, and I see it in some of you, suddenly you begin to back away. Suddenly, when you come together and you do your best to just melt in the carpet, you withdraw yourself from even your friends. Merle Joan would call. Thank you, Merle. He'd say, hey, Dee, is everything all right? But even your best of friend, Hootie, somewhere, before God comes, there has to be an honesty that happens to our ranks and our movement that we can trust somebody And dear God, we're almost scared to, because we're scared they'll tell. And if one tells it and it gets to the third one, it's going to get twisted up and confused. But where is the man who can take me in his arm and say, I know you're hurting, but I'm going to be a physician, and I'm going to bind up your wounds, and I'm going to pour the oil in your heart, and I'm going to care for you, and I'm going to love you, and I'm going to see you restored. I'm going to see you restored. I'm not going to let you die. I'm not going to let the pressure kill you. I'm sorry, Brother Arnold, for not calling you. I've driven through your city the last few years and knew that you were hurting and didn't even do it, but I beg your apology today. Oh, God. And yet there are men we have lost in years gone by. There are saints that we've lost, that it's not because they love sin. It's not because they wanted to sin. It's they were hurting and they didn't know where else to go until the mind got so confused. Why don't some of you men get that handkerchief out of your pocket and say, dear God, he's talking to me. That's where I'm living. Why don't some of you ladies that came to this conference, and I sat on this platform a while ago, and I looked at some of you that right now, your body, your mind, your life is totally wore out. Totally. Somebody said to you, you're telling us not to do the will of God. Don't take anything and add to or take away from what I'm saying. I'm just saying we can't do the will of God if we are a broken, messed up vessel. This is all He has to reach this generation, is this. This. And so, finally, in 1984, I finished that church. Brother Kilgore, you came to my dedication and I saw you look at me. And you looked at me. And I knew you knew something. One night I walked out of the church. Spencer McCool, you were there. I walked out of the church that night. Suddenly I looked at my wife and I said, the light. It was just like somebody turned the switch off. Went totally lifeless and dead. She looked at me and said, what are you talking about? Brother Spencer McCool later told me, he said, I saw the moment it happened to you. He said, you suddenly changed. I'm jumping over to another part. But I've talked to doctors. I've sat down, and don't default me for talking to a doctor. If you got a prescription in your pocket somewhere, or your wife's on birth control pills, amen. Don't fault me, amen. You trust God. Hallelujah. I better come back to that later. They understood. But in this, when finally I reached the end of my road and I was totally broken, then I began to struggle and try to find everything I could to find what happened to me and how I could be healed. Not being smart, but I've talked to many a doctor. I've done research. Totally, totally destroyed. And a lot of it, 99% of it, had nothing to do with the devil. It had to be that I myself did
what all of hell could not do. And that's load my system until break down its immune system and destroy the only thing that God has chosen to use in this world. Inside this, right up here, is a little part of gray matter. Weighs a couple of pounds or so. But inside this cranium, there is all my center of reasoning is here. 100 billion cells here. 100 billion. And in studying this, I found out that this 100 billion cells, each one of those cells are connected to 1,000 cells, making over 100 trillion cells complex. In the study, I found out they say that the brain has more connecting points to it than all the computer systems in the world in operation right now. Part of your brain, the size of a black-eyed pea, has more connecting points than all the telephone system in the United States of America. Now, in complexity of that, your brain is just not sitting up there, but it is deciding what to do with all of your body and life by the load of problems that you put on it, and it responds by whatever you put into it. We take on more worry and confusion, and this becomes the very control center of our life. Each one of these cells putting out, your brain makes over 10,000 different kinds of chemicals. Over 10,000. Sometimes, welcome to the science class, 7th grade, amen. Sometimes in this system that is making 10,000 different chemicals, operating 100 trillion cells, speeding faster than light, my hand moving here, somewhere, it's not just something saying it, but there are thousands of chemicals that react like a spark plug and a spark jumping, and they react to something else, and it reacts to something else in my whole system. But load that system down. Put enough pressure on it. And scientists say that you can destroy some of those chemicals. They cannot be manufactured in any lab in the world. And when some of them are depleted, the body never makes them back again. But somewhere, Psalm of David said, He maketh me to lie down. I didn't want to. You're not supposed to. He said, lay down. Because somewhere in that laying down, there began to be a healing happen here. Oh God, don't leave me yet. Amen. Stay with me just a little while longer. Thank you, Sister Mangan. Amen. It's just me and you now. Amen. But suddenly all of these chemicals, and they begin to pour into our system. And then in this computer science center that we've got between our ears, suddenly something begins to happen that doctors don't totally understand. But this is what happens. When stress builds up to where it can't handle, the system can't handle it anymore, it begins to short circuit. It's not a spiritual problem. Woo. It's not a spiritual problem. It's a physical, it's an overload problem. But here is what happens. Suddenly, I'd stand in the pulpit at times and couldn't tell who was in the congregation. Couldn't call the name of my saint. Just stand there and look at him like an idiot. Nobody. And then you suddenly start feeling this. Oh. Whew.
must be indigestion. It wasn't indigestion. It's something up here is notifying you of a short circuit system that's about to happen. Because of all the research I have done, it says that there are more deaths attributed to pent-up emotions that never got out than any other leading cause. I got it right here. Amen. And it said that anger will probably be the leading cause of death in the United States of America. Somebody said, oh no, I thought heart attack. That's what I'm talking about. Somewhere this chemical process gets so mixed up until it overloads and it makes too much of certain chemicals, it goes haywire. And then it dumps them into an area that it's supposed to dump it into that gives you what's called the fight or flight syndrome. Fight or flight just simply means that's the way God made you. You walk through the woods and suddenly see a rattlesnake, your entire system does not have to run through and say, snake, 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 S-N-A-K-E. Immediately your system goes into action. All of your blood in your system leaves the skin and goes deep down inside. It's called fight or flight. So that at that moment you can be injured deeper than you could at a moment of relaxation and not bleed to death. God made you that way. But you live your total life in a fight or flight syndrome. Every problem becomes a crisis. Every situation becomes a despair. Live under stress. Run, run, run. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Don't eat right. Amen. Get up early. Stay up late. Don't ever take time. Lifestyle becomes so complicated. We got to run a million miles an hour. We owe more than we can even rake in. Amen. We're confused, but we got to go. That's a lifestyle. It's a computer age. You don't have to wait. Punch the button. The answer's there. But after a while, this won't operate anymore. And when it don't operate anymore, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Hey, I probably shouldn't say what I'm going to say. But nobody has said it because it's too embarrassing to talk about. But one of my preacher friend, a couple that took me in and gave me some of my first revivals. People that their relationship goes back to my wife's father's family. Prayed some of them through. It wasn't too many months ago until life became so mixed up. Shouldn't say it. But it wasn't very far from where you live, just up the road, a few miles. Lays everything out. Takes that gun. Puts it up there. Preacher's wife. An official. I'm not here to debate the point. I'm here to say something happened somewhere. I won't wait on any further. You've got your opinion and I've got mine. But I'm just simply saying, what would have happened if somewhere, somebody, she could have opened up to and said, I'm having some thoughts and ideas that I don't know how to handle. I know I've been taught you're an idiot if you thought these things and I was backslid, but man, talk to me. Tell me something. No, we say, how are you doing? Fine. Fine. Could it be that I walk by people today? Oh, I'm not trying to be smart. I'm trying to deliver something God gave me after 4 years of breaking my own health. Could it be that I'm looking at preachers today that are just only days away from a massive heart attack that you don't have to have? Am I looking at preachers and their wives who are right on the verge of having a stroke only because you've loaded your system so much? Getting quiet, amen. But oh God, if I don't do anything else today, if I get criticized by over half of you, but if I reach somebody and God reaches out there and begins to start the healing process and the restoring process, it will be worth it all. That's all right. I'll go back to Longview. I'll do my thing over there. I'm going to do my best to reach the world. But I tell you what, I don't really know too many people that are sitting down and are not concerned. Everybody here is concerned. You wouldn't be here if you wasn't concerned. We're not a lazy bunch of idiots. We're not the dingbats. We're not the ones who don't care. We're here because we care. But friend, in that caring, amen, also at the same time, let's stop long enough. Let's wait on Him long enough until there comes a healing. And that preacher and his wife that cries in the night, that struggles alone and can't find a way out. Let's take time to wait on them. I would hate it to be said. Y'all hear about Brother Spears? Died at 45. He did. Yeah, just one of those things. Died. But I would want, it does happen. And it's happened in the ranks of Pentecost. When we've had preachers that have had to retire before God was really through with them. Because they destroyed the only thing that God had to work with. When the mind gets under so much pressure and all the chemical systems are deleted, and I've got to quit, and I've got proof of a lot of this stuff here, amen, you know, medical stuff and books on it and all this kind of junk. Some of it was in the Reader's Digest and some of it Paul Harvey said. And if it's in those two, son, it is next to the Bible. Amen. You can believe in it. Amen. Yes, sir. Not all of it, but here, you know, here's some of it. And it just simply said that it is happening in healthy people. James E. Skinner, head of the Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, says that it is happening in healthy people, that suddenly they are dying because of the malfunction related to the lifestyle, the stressful situations they're in. In sitting and talking with some of these doctors, I found out that when you load your system so much, it has to have an outlet. It's like you put too much water in a lake. Something's got to happen. If it can't go over the spillway, it's got to move the dam. If it can't move the dam, it'll tear up everything on the side. God has made you where there are three major areas. One is your mind. One is your heart. And one is what is total physical man. And one of those three areas are going to suffer if you don't find a place to come aside and allow God to renew something in you. Jesus said, and to me it has always been a very strong point, I've spoken in tongues. I do quite often. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I preached that the new birth. But Jesus said, I'm going to give you something else besides just a tongue-talking feeling. He said, my peace I'm going to give to you. Not as the world giveth. But I'm going to give you my peace. Oh, hallelujah. There is some place that somewhere we can stop long enough. Glory. Come on, I'm not talking about just talking in tongues.
I'm not talking about just a funny feeling. I'm not talking about just running the building. But somewhere there is a place in God that the peace of God that was in Jesus Christ, that He lived in this world under all pressure but did not succumb to the pressure of His generation and His time and His hour. He said, "Hey, buddy, I've been through what you've been through. I've been where you've been. But I want to give you a promise. I'm going to give you something more than just a running down the aisle. I want to give you something more than just a funny feeling. I'm going to take my spirit. I'm going to take my presence. But I'm going to take my joy. I'm going to take my peace. I'm going to take what makes me satisfied. And I'm going to put it in you." And when it comes in you, it will be a peace that passeth all understanding. It will be something that will renew you again. It will be something that heals you again. He has chosen you for a work. He will equip you with the power to do that work if you don't destroy the only vessel that God has to use. You must preserve that vessel.
I'm almost through. Just give me a few more moments. In the last days, Jesus said, they shall run to and fro. Hurry, 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 run. But He said, when they do, their hearts will fail them. Because when I designed this system, I made it where it's only going to take so much. That's it. My wife's brother is a mortician in Shreveport. He has been for many, many years. He's managed some very large funeral homes. Recently, a 24-year-old young man died in Shreveport. He was on Lake Bistineau fishing. He stood up in the boat, and when he stood up, he fell over dead. Of course, the family, if I'm not mistaken, his father was a physician. And so his father and the family said, "We've got to have an autopsy. Something is wrong." One of the leading pathologists for the state of Louisiana talked to my brother-in-law and simply said this. He said, "I performed the autopsy from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. There was not one thing wrong. There was not a physical ailment anywhere." He said, "But I'm going to tell you what happened. And somewhere up here, he had lived at a young age of 24 under so much pressure and problem until the system that God had designed simply said, 'We've run out of supplies. So shut it down.' And the brain starts what is called the shutdown system. And doctors have told me that sometimes it takes 2 weeks for the process to finish its route. But once it decides, that's it. I wonder, did God bring me and make me vulnerable for somebody to go off and talk about my break, whatever you call I had? I hope you don't. But I hope that somewhere, somebody in this congregation who is right at that point. I did this the other day, and I wouldn't embarrass the individual, but I finished this and at a certain place in one of the conferences, Brother Tenney, and I walked out in the hall, and the preacher walked out there, and he grabbed me. He started crying. And I hate, he almost had to look over his shoulder. And he said, "I want to tell you, you saved my life."
You say, and this is not a preacher that's one of those kind of gets all these whims and all this, that, and the other. This guy's very solid. He's a rock in your district. But he said, you saved me. I hope I could save somebody today. For if I had preached to you running and shouting today, you would have stayed with me. And that would have been great. And boy, when it was all shouting, I turned to my buddy Merle and I said, oh God, that's my style. Why can't I do that? Why do I have to do what I'm doing today? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is He weary, and there is no searching of His understanding. He don't have a problem. He giveth power to the faint. Oh, nobody wanted to identify with the faint, so I'll go, oh, maybe we're past that. And to them that hath no might, He increases their strength. Hallelujah. I like to put that crazy thing over. Amen. Hallelujah. For the young men shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. Shall renew their strength. Go ahead, remain standing. I'm basically through. I do this at Longview, amen, and an hour later then they sit down, hallelujah, but I won't today. Amen. Why? He said it's going to happen. It's going to happen if something doesn't happen. Young men's going to faint. They're going to become weary. But they that wait upon the Lord. This is a generation that can't wait for a miracle. We want it right now. But there are some healing processes in the body that it takes longer than 30 seconds sometime for it to take care of. But oh, preacher, don't despair today. God is going to begin to somehow plug you in to that supply system that only heaven has. And when it's all over with, when you come aside a while, when you change it a while, when you get some relief for a while, then, you're going to mount up with wings as eagles, destined to do a work, headed for the throne, called of Almighty God. And at that time, after they're renewed, they shall not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. And they shall not fall, and they shall not fail. I can't prove what I'm going to say. Go ahead, Brother Jerry. Come here, Belinda. This is my oldest baby. I have two babies. This one and my youngest. I'm going to say something and she don't even know what I'm going to say. She's never heard me say this. But when I walk through my roughest valley, she is a total reflection of me. I see myself in her so much. And I could not understand it then, but I watched her go through her roughest times of life also. Because they are a reflection. Of what we are. And I watched her struggle
And I watched, I almost lost her. But until this week, I never saw, baby, it wasn't really you. It was Daddy. The greatest revival the world will ever have lies within our doors, and it's our kids. If the Levitical priesthood had have lost their sons, there would have been no priesthood. I'm looking at a bunch of mothers and daddies today that wish you could put your arm around your because you've got a child that reflects you. And oh God, I don't care. I may do it wrong, but I ain't gonna lose mine to hell. I may have to go 1,000 miles out of the way. I may do correction different. I don't know, but I'm not throwing them aside because they're a reflection of what I'm going through with their struggles and trials. I'm sorry, baby, if I embarrassed you, I didn't mean to. Amen. But I want somebody to go back home, and I want you to get your life, and I want let God to renew you, because I want that son to be saved. I want that daughter to be saved. They're struggling because you're struggling. They're losing it because you're losing it. They're a reflection of you. And if you die, they're going to die. And if you don't get a hold of it, and you don't get some help, and you don't get some relief, they're going to lose it. And when we lose them, we lose it all. Oh God, renew. That's it. Daddy, go to your son. My God, if I had amen, is my other baby here? Hallelujah. My God, parents, if we lose them, we lose it all.
My.